the 24th chapter of the book of Exodus is what I call the Mount of Transfiguration experience in the Old Testament. God spoke to Moses and said, "Come up unto the Lord," up on the mountain where God had already revealed himself. "Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off." Notice that. "And Moses alone shall come near the Lord." Now, in the types of the Old Testament, Moses has been recognized many times, and it's carefully taught in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews in his role as mediator. When Job was suffering, he complained on one occasion he couldn't understand the treatment, and he said, "Furthermore, there's no daysman or umpire to lay his hand on each of us, God and me, and mediate between us." And that mediator to come was Christ. But in the drama of God's chosen people, where he made their lives teach out in type and shadow the truths that would be revealed in substance in Christ, Moses in this chapter is playing that mediator role as a type of Christ. "Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not," they, elders of Israel, mind you, "shall not come nigh. Neither shall the people go up with him." Just Moses with the Lord. As John says in the New Testament concerning Christ, "The Word was with God," was of the same essence as God, literally turned from facing God and struck a tent in human flesh and led God from behind the curtain, declared him, put him on display. Moses is a type of Christ. He alone was near the Lord. The others had to worship afar off. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said we will do." Good. Wonderful intentions. Candidate for First Baptist Church of Sinai. Can't fault them on their intentions. "All the words that the mediator brings, we will do." That's liberalism. All you got to do is know the words that Jesus said and do them. That's it. Commit yourself to good works defined in these words, the law of God. "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord." First record we have him writing them down. "And rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood," which Leviticus will later say the life of the soul resides in the blood. God had said, "For sin comes death." And the spilling of blood by this sacrifice was the pouring out of life, and that blood which contained the life, Moses took it, put it in basins, half of it in basins. The other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant, which he had written down of the things of God, and he read in the audience of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient." Thing in First Assembly of God Church. "And Moses took the blood." Here we are, our best obedient selves. Now let us go up and talk to God the way you did. We want to worship now real close. "And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. and said, Behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then, same people that previously could not come close to God, now that the blood was sprinkled on them from the slain sacrifice, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. Same people that previously had been told, don't you come near the Lord. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. God didn't strike them dead. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. What was the difference? Very same people that previously had to worship before off. Now the blood of the sacrifice offered for their sins was sprinkled on. I can see all these elders standing there in their obedience. The literal is splat. And half of the blood of the sacrifice is in these basins. Now Moses walks among them, and here they are in their religious finery. Splat. Blood. Splat. Splat. And the preening front row seats got the biggest dose. Splat. And then the same people could go nigh to God, he wouldn't kill them, and worship him. A very simple little passage, but it says everything I've been saying as we've gone to this table of the Lord over these many years. One thing makes us worthy of God's presence: the blood applied. One thing makes us no longer recipients of death: the blood applied. Same truth if I'd gone to Exodus, where they applied the blood of the slain lamb to the door of their house, went in, shut the door, and when the death angel passed over, he saw the blood on the door as a token or a sign, and he passed over that house and didn't slay the firstborn. Exact same people that could not come in God's presence with the blood, in that case splattered on them, could now come and worship. Jesus took the cup of the covenant, said, This is my blood which is shed for you. As you take it, this do in remembrance of me. Down through the years, Paul's words have been distorted where he said, Examine yourself. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation. And as I've said probably 1,000 times, he said, Not he that drinketh unworthy. We all are unworthy. Nadab and Abihu and the rest of them were unworthy. What Paul says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. The manner of partaking. And you become one of those partaking worthily if you eat and drink discerning the Lord's body. That which makes us worthy is the shed blood of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. One worth enough to God to stand in our place, shed his blood. As I said, they applied the blood to the doorpost by God's direction in Egypt the night of their escape. In this case, the blood was applied by the mediator splattering it on them. In the New Testament, the blood is applied when you take this cup and remember that he died that we might live. His blood was shed that we might not have to pay the penalty of sin. And we are covered as they were splattered and as the sign or token was on the door of the house in Egypt. When we take this cup and remember him, we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. They weren't any better men. second trip up the mountain in their behavior of do good works, they were splattered with the blood, as gross as that may sound. We take this cup, we discern not the blood of animals and goats. The New Testament says Christ is the propitiation for our sins, the satisfying payment. And we take this cup, we don't have to come to this table with guilt and offer ourselves as clean enough to drink. This cup is the application of the blood to us, and the act of faith in God's promise lets us stand worshiping without receiving the penalty for our sins, because the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Take the cup and lift it with thanksgiving wherever you are and whatever your condition. Let this blood be applied to you and stand redeemed by this price in God's presence, worshiping not afar off, but nigh to God through His grace, His unmerited favor. And lift the cup saying, thank you, Lord, for your grace, as we partake together in Jesus' name. Psalm 105 says of these people, they went out, and there wasn't a feeble one in their midst. They ate the roasted lamb behind that door where the blood was applied. Take the cup and the knowledge that not only were our sins covered, with His stripes you were healed. Take it in Jesus' name. To those just joining us, we just went to the table of the Lord. And I always like you to call me after we do that. So get on the telephone and talk to me as you lifted that cup and that bread and partook of God's grace.